And so 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse number 16, 17, and 18, we already read from. Before I jump into this, I did want to say, I know that preacher, I don't know how well you guys could hear what he was saying, but he's preaching four different times today in the Bahamas at he's preaching at four different places today in the Bahamas. And I think three of them are all morning services. And so he's like, they are moving him around. He said, there's a white boy on the island and they all want to see me. So, and so I'm sure they all want to hear what the Lord has given him to say, but he's excited. He's having a time. It's going way better than he, preacher, he always thinks it's going to go great anyways, but he said it's even going better than he thought it was going to. And he said he misses home. He's ready to get back to see his church and his family and his children, of course. And so he just wanted me to let you guys know that you are in his heart, and his heart is here. And as much as he enjoys being used of the Lord where he's at, he does miss being at home. And I told him many times that I would let you guys know the message. And so I wanted to be able to deliver that and just say, remember him in your prayers this afternoon, as he'll probably still be preaching many times, but we're already out of here. And so so in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verses 16, 17, and 18, I want to open up into the sermon for a little bit, and then I just want to end on a few points, quick points. But I want to talk about giving thanks in everything. Thanksgiving should be every day for a Christian, amen? I know we celebrate it as a nation one day every single year, and I'm glad that we do that, but it should be an everyday thing for a Christian, amen? And so we should wake up thanking God before we even leave our home to go to work or to go do whatever you do when you leave your home. We should be thanking God on a daily basis. And it says in everything. Now, we like to thank God for the good things, amen? But the Bible doesn't say it doesn't say in verse 18, in the good things give thanks. What does it say there again, folks? Look down, it says in what? Everything give thanks, right? In everything. In absolutely everything in your life to give thanks, in the good times and in the bad times, on the mountaintops and in the valleys, on the easy times and in the hard times, when you're with in public and in private, you know. And obviously, I would say this includes absolutely everything in life except for, obviously, you know, personal sin or sin. We're not supposed to be thankful for that. But everything else, that's kind of a given, and we're supposed to be thankful for. No matter what happens to come our way, we're not supposed to, yes, circumstances are going to change, but our thankful attitude should never change. And thanksgiving is the very essence, if you would, of the Christian life. You think about a Christian, and hopefully you should think about a thankful person. Hopefully you should think about somebody that has the attitude of, say it with me, gratitude, amen? The attitude of gratitude, right? And so we see also in the Word of God, in Romans chapter 1 and chapter 20, you can go and turn there if you'd like, Romans chapter 1 and verses 20 and 21, the Bible talks about there how unthankfulness is the very essence of the unbeliever as far as the world or the unsaved, someone who is not a Christian, the opposite of what a Christian would be, the opposite of a blood-bought sinner by God. It is the opposite. We see in Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, it says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Okay? So what it's saying is that we know that there's a God. We see that there's a God by the creation, by just looking around and seeing the wonderful things that God has made. Everybody knows that there is a God because of the creation, because of what's been made, because of his power. And then it says in verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither, what's it say, were thankful. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. We see that a Christian, every day of a Christian should be thanksgiving. And we see that thanksgiving is the very essence of a Christian's life. But we see that unthankfulness is the very essence of an unbeliever's life. And you see that we also see that also, though, in Romans chapter number 8 and verse 28, if you want to roll over there real quick, most of us already know that verse, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. So that is why, when we go back to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, in everything give thanks, when you say, Brother Jake, but in the hard times, it's harder to do that. Yes, it is harder, but it's still possible because we know that through all things work together for good, right? We know that because God is sovereign, because in God's sovereign plan, that it's all going to work for the good and for His glory, amen? It's going to come full circle. It's going to come to fruition. We don't understand everything right now is going on in the Grahams' lives. We understand a little bit, but somehow, some way, God's going to make it good. We've had a lot of folks that's passed here in the past couple years, and Brother Buddy's sitting in the back, and through all the heartache and stuff, God has made it good, amen? And because we believe God, and we believe in His sovereign power, and we believe that all things work together for good, we know that it's going to work together for good, amen? And so, but let's be honest today, folks. We fail to thank Him, don't we? We fail to be thankful every day. We fail to have thanksgiving on a daily basis in our life, right? And we live in a culture, in a society that we're surrounded with and swallowed in, if you would, that is probably one of the most unthankful generations or ages that we've ever lived in. You know, you think about it, everybody either wants more or just understands that there's more out there that they don't already have. And so we just want and want and want, and there's no room for thankfulness. And as an unbeliever, that's the essence of their life, is unthankfulness anyhow, as the Word of God states in Romans chapter 1. And so how do we expect them to live any other way? We don't, but we should live a different way. Amen? We should be thankful. We should be thankful. The Bible talks about in Ephesians in chapter number 5. If you want to roll over there real quick, Ephesians chapter number 5 and verses 3 and 4. Ephesians chapter number 5, verses 3 and 4. The Bible talks about, it says there in those verses, but fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Okay, so that's talking about bad or evil deeds there. Don't let that be known of us Christians. But then it's talking about our speech here. It says, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Okay, so when somebody sees you out and about in the world, whether you're in a church or you're at work or you're at Walmart or you're at home by yourself, what should be coming out of our mouth? Not filthiness, not dirty talk, not even jesting, but thanks. That should be what's flooding our mouths, is thanksgiving. As a Christian, we should be walking around and everybody say, you know what, I bet that's a Christian because he is a thankful person. Go ahead and go a little bit farther in the chapter of chapter number 5. The Bible talks about there. It says, Ephesians 5, verse 18, it says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Okay, so it's saying, look, don't be influenced by these other things, but be filled with the Spirit and be influenced by the Spirit. Because it says in verse number 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, because once we don't allow ourselves to be filled or influenced by other things in the world, we allow ourselves to be filled and influenced by the Spirit, and we allow our spiritual lives to be completely overflowing with the Spirit, that we'll have joy, we'll be rejoicing, we'll have prayer, we'll have praise, will happen. And then in verse 20, we'll have thanksgiving. We'll have that thing that we're talking about. You say, maybe the reason why I'm not full of thanksgiving is because I don't allow the right influences into my life. Because what the Word of God says is that the way that we're going to be able to sing praises and the way that we're going to be able to be thankful is to be filled by the Spirit. You know, He's saying that literally thanks is just going to just fall out of you like a waterfall. I mean, who's ever seen a real spring, all right, where water is just or even a, my mind is not, what's Old Faithful, what is that thing called? A geyser? All you guys knew what I was talking about. All right. A geyser just exploding out of us because we're full of the Spirit. And so we're supposed to be not only filled with the Spirit, but allow what happens, allow the outpour of the Spirit because of the control that, you see, look, because my car is going to go where the person sitting in the driver's seat controls it to go. And if your vehicle, which God has given you, our body, it's going to go where it is controlled. And what's going to happen because of the control of it being in control of the Spirit is it's going to have outflowing of joy, of praises, and of thankfulness. And so, you see, we have these, we go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Go ahead and turn back there if you're not there. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verses 16, 17, and 18. And you see, we see that these are the three main things, the three main attitudes or characteristics, if you would, of a Spirit-filled Christian. We're going to have verse number 16. If we're Spirit-filled, it's not only a character and attitude, it's even also a duty. It's a command. It says to rejoice evermore. We're going to have joy. It says to pray without ceasing. We're going to pray. It says, in everything to give thanks. You see, we see these three things here. But you see, a lot of us can do whatever we want. We can function, if you would, in the Christian life on the outside without it really being filled with the Spirit on the inside. But really, honestly, when you ask yourself, when you take a test, if you would, or you try to say, okay, am I really a Spirit-filled Christian? You can't fake joy, and you can't fake always praying, and you can't fake being thankful. You either are or you're not. And your spirit and your attitude shows that, and your walk shows that. I can come in here and teach Sunday school. I can come in here and drive a bus and be as angry and unthankful person, but I'm still driving the bus. But you see, a true test of if you are filled with the Spirit is, do you have joy? Are you praying without ceasing? And are you full of thanksgiving? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit today? Ask yourself that. Say, I don't know, Brother Jake. We'll use those three things as a test. I have a lot of work to do, all right? I have a lot of work to do. You see, the energy or the fuel, if you would, for our Christian life, not only is it evidence, but it's also the energizer and the fuel to have the constant joy, to have constant prayer, and to have constant thanksgiving. Somebody, it's Thanksgiving this week. Someone raise your hand and tell me something you're thankful for. It doesn't even have to be spiritual. Go ahead. Anybody? All these people, you don't... Yes, ma'am. God paid her taxes, all right? All right, yes, sir. His family, okay? Yes, ma'am. She's thankful that everybody's still at home. All of her kids are still at home. Yes, sir. He's thankful, and I'm thankful that he didn't freeze to death last night. Who else is thankful that they did not freeze to death last night? All right? Amen. Okay? So we're thankful. You see, but you know what? You just see what that did to the place? It brought energy. It brought fuel. Everybody started smiling. Everybody started kind of giggling or laughing. The freezing to death, maybe that was to you, maybe that was humorous. To Kenny, he was very serious. He's glad he didn't freeze to death last night, okay? But it brought smiles to most of our faces. It was energy in the room. All because we had a little bit of joy. We weren't necessarily praying, but we were praising and we were thankful. You see how that could energize your life? Who in here has ever had a day where you're just like, man, I can't wait for the day to be over. Man, I can't wait to start over tomorrow. Because we're out, you know what? Our day, who's ever ran out of gas in their car? That's a day you want to start over, right? Well, it's the same way in our spiritual vehicle, right? When you run out of fuel, okay, this is a hard day. I just want to get this over with. But if we start having that joy and start praising and having that constant thanksgiving, that's that energy that will fuel our Christian life. You know, If we're not having those things, if we're not having that joy and that praise and that thanksgiving, it's because we're struggling with the flesh. It's because we're allowing it to control us. And if we're honest, if everybody in here was honest today, you'd say, look, I struggle with the flesh, all right? If you don't say I struggle with the flesh, then you would be lying. I'm sorry to tell you, all right? We all struggle with the flesh. Why? Because we're encapsulated with it, and we all have it in our daily life, okay? What is the flesh? It's the pulling of the old man, okay? It's the natural sinful nature that we still live with, okay? Yes, we're saved. We're born again. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior and you're on your way to heaven, we're going to see Miss Sherry one day again. But here's the deal. If we don't allow the Spirit to control us, something will be in control of us, okay? And it's either going to be the Spirit, the devil, or our flesh. And so if you're struggling with having joy, praying without ceasing, or not being thankful in everything, it's because we're struggling in some area with the flesh. You see in verse 18 there, it says, not only in everything give thanks. It says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now raise your hand if you want God's will for your life, amen? Hopefully if you're sitting at church on a Sunday morning, you want God's will for your life. And look, it says that this is God's will for your life. And it's not just specifically talking about giving thanks. It's talking about all three of these things. God wants you to rejoice evermore. God wants you to pray without ceasing. God's will is that you give thanks in absolutely everything. Find the positive. Isn't that what preacher says? Find the positive. There's a positive to be found. Find it. Give thanks. This is the will of God. And you know what? Some of us may say, you know what? I know it's the will of God, but I just don't have that desire. You get close to God. You allow Him to fill you with the Spirit. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 in verse 13, For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of good pleasure. He will work it in you. He will even give you that desire if you're seeking after it. If it's His will, He's going to work that will in your life. You say, look, sometimes I just don't want to be thankful. Just give praises or rejoice like we just did. And then you can start praying without ceasing. And God's going to work in your own life to give you that thanksgiving. God's going to just work it in your life. Hey, who in here would love to be to rejoice evermore, to pray without ceasing, and to be thankful all the time? You say, I don't do it, but I want to do that. I would like to be there. I'd like to have that status, right? Well, when we look at our life, we wish we were there, amen? But when we look at reality, all right, when we actually go to the mirror and we're like, all right, I'm just warning you, you know what you're going to see, Jake, you know, when you get to that mirror. It's the same guy you saw last time you looked in the mirror, okay? And we can wish away and away and away that we want these things. But if we don't do anything to help us stay away from unthankfulness, stay away from unrejoicing, stay away from the lack of prayer. You see, there's these things that can hinder our thankfulness. There's these things that can hinder our joy. There's these things, so many things in this life. If I had you raise your hand, I'm sure there'd be lots of people say, this makes my joy go away. This allows me to not pray as much as I should. This makes me not to cringe, not to be thankful, but to cringe. These are all different distractions in my life that I don't allow that hinders me from being thankful. And so I just want to give you seven things this morning that corrupts our heart, that corrupts our that control inside of when the Spirit does isn't filled in our hearts, whenever our flesh is full in our heart, and how we have corruption to where we're not able, the hindrances of joy, of praying, and of thanks in our hearts. I just want to give you seven quickly. Number one is doubt. Doubt will cause us to be unthankful. You say doubt. Doubt in what? Well, doubt in God. Doubt in His character. Doubt in His word. I don't know if you, I'm just going to be honest. Sometimes I'll be driving down the road. I don't even know where it comes from. I'm like, is this really real? I mean, is God really up there? You know, that's doubt. And I've done it both ways. Sometimes, you know, it's an innocent thought. Well, yeah, of course God's up there. What are you thinking about? And sometimes it's, well, there's lots of religion, and kind of like allow myself to. I promise you, I'm not thankful. I'm not rejoicing, and I'm not praying at that time. I'm not necessarily wanting to say, man, I'm not trying to doubt God, but doubt will allow unthankfulness to run out of the heart, to just flee. There'll be no rejoicing there. There'll be no praying there. There'll be simply, what about his wisdom? How often do we say, all right, God, I know that you can do it. I know that you're sovereign. I know that you have power, but I just want you to know I have a better idea about this, all right? I know you can read my mind, so you can just go ahead and read it, because I got this figured out, and if you work it out this way, it'll be a lot better. You know, I mean, you think about it, Brother Tom could be thinking about that right now. God, you know, it could have happened this way. Those are real thoughts that happen to each and every one of us, are they not? You know, what about his love? God couldn't really, now God, I know me, and I know what I've done, and I know what I think about. And I know the struggles that I have. Can you really forgive me? Can you really love me? Can you really? These are real thoughts that we go through, that we have. It's a breeding ground for lack of rejoicing, lack of prayer, and unthankfulness. You say, so we see, it's a poison that fills our heart, and it pushes away being filled with the Spirit. Not only do we have doubt, but selfishness. Number two, selfishness. You know, that's really a poison for gratitude. Selfishness, you think about it? That's the act of dethroning God and putting yourself on the throne. And man, as bad as we're thinking, man, you're right, Brother Jake, that's bad. As bad as I'm thinking, yeah, that's right, dethroning God? I mean, there's so many times and wars that happened through the time that men have been on this earth, that they went to go dethrone a king, and they put in a lot of money and a lot of lives to dethrone. We're doing that on a daily basis in our own life by being selfish, by not denying ourselves, by allowing ourselves to sit on the throne that only belongs to one person, that's God Almighty, amen? And we wonder why things don't go exactly the way that we want them to, exactly the way it's planned. It's because the wrong king is on the throne. That's going to take, there's not going to be thankfulness there. Because without Jesus, I am nothing. Nothing that I can do is good. Only the things that Jesus does through me is worth, it will bring glory to him and will be good and will bring me that joy and that thankfulness. And that's why we have to stay away from not only doubt, but selfishness. You know, how often do we say, all right, God, I love you, I'm at church, I'm faithful, but in this situation, God, you need to come into my life and I'm going to put you where you need to be. Not like put him in his place, but look, God, just when we put it all together, this is where you belong. This is where, look, I'm going to do this and you're going to do that. How often do we do that, right? We're playing God again, right? We've dethroned him. We've allowed him to be the subordinate, right? This is what you need to do. No. We need to flip back around and not allow selfishness to take away from our thankfulness, our joy, and our prayer. Amen? And so doubt, we see selfishness, we see worldliness. Worldliness is something that can most definitely take away from our unthankfulness, folks. Why do we only have Thanksgiving once a year, even as a Christian? Because of doubt, because of selfishness, because of worldliness. You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed, all right? We're not supposed to be of the world. We're supposed to be separate from the world as children of God. It says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2, set your affections on things above, not on the things on the earth. Ouch, I could probably park there the rest of the time just for myself. Where's your vision? What are you looking at? Are your eyes on the world? Are your eyes on distractions? Are your eyes on temporal things that will soon pass away? Are your eyes on pleasures? Are they on people? Are they on places? Are they on, you think about this, and it causes us to be unthankful because, the person that we were in this relationship with, it didn't work out, and so now I'm not feeling very thankful. Well, it's because my eyes were on the person in the relationship and not on God. It's because the thing that I was trying to go after, the promotion I was trying to go after at my work, it didn't work out because I was focusing too much and my eyes were on that vision, instead of on the vision of Christ, the vision of God, where my heart's vision should be. Be thou my vision. Who knows that? Who knows that song? Say it with me. Be thou, I can't sing it. O Lord of my heart. Is that how it goes? Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Where should the vision of our heart be? It should be God, right? We should be seeking after God. We should be longing after God. We should be hoping to see God. We shouldn't be having our eyes and our vision on those things that are out in the world that are going to soon pass away, that are temporal things, that are trivial things, things that we can't even grab a hold of for eternity. We can grab a hold of God. We should seek after Him. Our heart's eyes, our heart's vision should be on Him so that we can retain full of the Spirit and have joy, have prayer, and have thanksgiving. You know, if our vision's on the world, we're going to miss the thankfulness boat every time. Because it's full of vanity. It is empty. It is nothingness. It is sadness. It is hurt. It is heartache. The only thing that carries true joy that can never go away is Jesus Christ. And so we must keep our vision on Him. Not only doubt or selfishness and worldliness will cause us to be unrejoicing and a lack of prayer and unthankful, but also a critical spirit. A critical spirit. You know, I mean, how often do we find ourselves, you know, as far as being bitter or just being negative, not even to the bitter point, being negative or just having a bad attitude? How often do I find myself saying, you know, I mean, I would do that different. Why did he do it that way? Having that deep analytical thought of, okay, now why did he do it that way? Now that wasn't good. I could have done it. Just a critical spirit. Not even meaning to be bad, but it just kind of, it's like a rope and you kind of tie it around your waist. And you, once you start, then you just say go and then it has you. It just pulls you in. And it just pulls you deeper and darker and deeper and darker. And then that bad attitude and that negative spirit calls you to be bitter. You know, and it also, it blinds our vision, folks. It warps our understanding. It makes us think that God is useless in our life anymore. Because we have that spirit. We are the ones that are looking at the way it should be. It destroys our thankful heart, that's for sure. You know, and really, honestly, it's a pain to all those that are around you. Or that are around me, for that matter. You know, it literally corrodes our spirituality and our love of our love that we should be giving to others that only Christ can give to people through his children. It corrodes it. It just destroys it, decays it. It's gone. You know, it's really and honestly, a critical spirit all is fueled by pride. It's about me. It's about I can sit here and look. I'm better than you, so I can have a critical spirit about what you're doing and about how it's not as good as what I could do. Or, you know, what you're doing really makes me look good. You're doing it wrong because I'm not looking good anymore. Right? A critical spirit. You think of the last time that you know somebody with a critical spirit that you could describe as thankful. I don't think there is one. Not only critical spirit, but how about being impatient? How about being impatient? You know, we don't give God the time to work anymore, do we? No, nobody is thankful for the process anymore. We want it now, and look, get out of my way because I'm going to get it. Right? This is what I want, Mom. Give it to me now. I'm in the store throwing a temper tantrum, right? That's what... Man, I'd beat that kid. That's what we're doing in our spiritual life with God, right? I'd go look in the mirror before you start getting the paddle out, okay? You might have to use it on yourself. Impatience. You know, I'm pretty sure the Bible talks about His thoughts are not our thoughts and His ways are not our ways. I mean, 1,000 years is a day and a day is 1,000 years. It doesn't get much more extreme than that, amen? Impatience. You know, we want that, especially as Americans, amen? We want that instant gratification. Give it to me now. I see what I want. Why can't I have it? And it's, you know, and the social media and the technology has just enhanced it so much more about want it right now. Because look, if any of y'all wanted to know something, we could just pull our phone out, right? Oh, we don't have internet in the church? Internet? What's the internet? You know, I have my cell phone. I got data now. I don't have internet. It's the same thing. But you know what I'm saying? You know, we could just pull it out of our pocket. We have computers in our pocket, all right? And we could get anything, we could know anything right off the bat as fast as we wanted to know it. And so, you know, we need to learn to thank God for the process. We need to learn to thank God for the time, the teaching time of becoming patient. And we need to learn to become more joyful and to become more thankful and to become, have a better, stronger, more intimate prayer life with Christ, that we have to become patient. And so, you know, what robs us from gratitude? Doubt, selfishness, worldliness, a critical spirit, impatience. We should have the attitude of gratitude, but what completely rips it away? What robs it blind? Those five things, and also apathy. Wow, apathy. That we live in the day of apathy. The day of lukewarmness. Anybody ever heard that before? That Laodicean church age? Lukewarmness. He even talked about being cold. A lot of us are just cold. We've decided, you know what? You're right. I don't want to be lukewarm anymore, and I can't make it to hot, so I'm just going to be cold. I'm just going to come in. I'm going to sit in my spot. As soon as it's over, I'm going to head out the back door. You know what? I don't know what the preacher preached, but I was in my spot. You know, it's a lack of zeal for service, a lack of love for Christ, a lack of diligence in Scripture, a lack of passion in church, neglect of Bible reading, neglect of prayer, waste of time on fleshly things. Apathy. Why can't we have Thanksgiving every day? Why do we even struggle to get together on the day? I ate my turkey. I ate my ham. Oh, let's play some games. Oh, no, Mom wants to talk about being thankful. I guess it's only going to take 15 minutes. Let's do it real quick, and then we can go and watch the football game. It's pretty sad, isn't it? Because we really don't live that way anymore. It's sad because it's true. It hurts because it cuts deep, because it's exactly where we all live. It's exactly where I'm at in my life. That's why it doesn't feel good right now. But we have to get away from it in order to be thankful, in order to pray, in order to be able to rejoice evermore. Not rejoice, but rejoice evermore. And you know, what it does is it leaves us as Christians feeling extremely empty inside and miserable because we're apathetic. Because I don't understand why I feel the way I feel. I still get up and I read my Bible and I mark the check off that I'm reading it this year. And I go to church on Sunday morning, I go to church on Sunday night, and I go to church on Wednesday night, and I do everything that I'm supposed to do. I have the exact cycle and the exact equation done exactly right. Yeah, but you left the Spirit out of it. You're allowing yourself to be filled with everything wherever we go, and it's an innocent thing. It's an apathetic thing. We're just so busy. Do you understand my schedule? Yes, I do. And instead of giving it to God, why don't you let God give us the schedule from now on and say, all right, God, I'm ready to do what you want me to do. And if I have to do away with this and I have to do away with that, I'm okay with it because I want to be filled with the Spirit. I want to be controlled by you. If I'm going to stay on this earth, I don't want to have the lack of service. I don't want to have the apathetic spirit when I'm in church. When I go to church, I really want to get something. I don't want to be at this spot next year hearing the same kind of message saying, man, I wish I would have been more thankful this past year. It's about getting out of the apathetic state and getting in the action state and saying, I'm ready to do something now. And then lastly, just rebellion. Just flat out rebellion. just downright, flat out, I'm unthankful. I know I'm unthankful. I don't care that I'm unthankful. I don't care. This is who I am. Like it or lump it. Get it figured out. This is who I become, and get over it. And God, you know, I know who you are. Isn't it sad? There's people out there like that. And, you know, I don't know the things that have happened in certain people's lives, but there's things that happen in people's lives where they get that way. And they've just decided. They've hardened their heart. I'm done. I don't care. I'm not going to be joyful. I definitely am not going to pray. And shoot, if I'm not being joyful and praying, I ain't got nothing to be thankful for. And you know what? That's just who I am. If you don't like it, don't come around. Just flat out rebellion. And it's so sad that there's people out there that are like that. You know, here's the saddest part about it, is that all seven of these things, because I hit some people, I hit everybody somewhere, I hit myself, six of them, I sure hope I'm not number seven. All of them are sin. All of them is a wicked thing that's going to separate us from God. Separate that fellowship. It's sin. No matter how harmless it is or how harmful it is, it's all sin, and it's going to break the fellowship between us and God. It's going to break the fellowship between us and the Holy Spirit that we want to fill us. Everybody raise your hand and wants to be joyful and wants to be prayerful and wants to be thankful. That's God's will for our life. And you know, if we're not thankful, then it's sin, folks. If we're not thankful, it's sin because we're denying the command of God, and we're allowing ourselves to overlook the instruction of the New Testament to be thankful. And, you know, we should always give thanks, as we read in the very beginning, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in verse 18, in everything give thanks. You know, there's plenty of things to be thankful for, amen? We can be thankful for salvation. We can be thankful for the blessings of God. We can be thankful for the goodness of God. We can be thankful for the mercies of God, for the holiness of God, for life and the breath that we get to breathe, for heaven, amen, when we get to see Miss Sherry again, Miss Jamie again, Brother Bob McCarty again, Brother Pine again. We get to see all those folks again, and all those people that I just forgot to mention, okay? We get to see those again, those folks that are saved, that have already passed on, that you love. We'll get to see them again, amen? Those are things that we can be thankful for. You know, we can be thankful for the gift of Christ. We can be thankful for the victory over sin and death, amen? We can be thankful over divine guidance, over complete provision for our needs, the hope of glory, the power of the word, the power of prayer, amen? There's the fact that we are able to come to a church and worship God freely in a place called America, amen? We're excited. We can be thankful for so many things. If I went in here, everybody could probably say as many things, if not more, than I just said, and we'd be here the rest of the day, and it'd be the best Thanksgiving service that we could have. But we're not going to have the spirit of Thanksgiving to want to be thankful if we're not filled with the Spirit. Because of rebellion and apathy and impatience and a critical spirit and worldliness and selfishness and doubt in God. It's sin, folks. But we all raised our hand at the beginning and said, that's not where I want to be. And so I want to challenge you to be filled with the Spirit and to allow yourself to have the joy, and to have the prayer, and to have the thanksgiving, and everything. And you know what happens when we're thankful? You know what happens when we have that thanksgiving in our lives, folks? God is glorified. You are blessed, amen. The church grows, and my favorite of all, the lost are reached. When you're thankful the way you should be, and people see that you're different than the world, because the world, the essence of the unbeliever is unthankfulness, and the essence of the true Christian is what? Thankfulness. And whenever they see that, there's a big difference there. Thankfulness and unthankfulness, and the lost are going to be reached. And because the lost are reached, God will be glorified. You'll be blessed, and the church will grow. It's going to have outstanding impact on your life and everybody else's. So what does God ask us to do? What is our spiritual duty as we get up at this invitation time? Stay at your seat, come to the altar, head out the back door. What is our spiritual duty? To rejoice all the time, to pray all the time, and to be thankful all the time. As we yield to the Holy Spirit, as we read in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." If we yield ourselves to the Spirit, he not only wills it, but he's going to work it in our life. And so here's the most exciting part about the entire message, is that you don't have to do it alone. In fact, if that verse is true, and it's in the Word of God, so it is, I'm not going to have doubt. He's going to work it in there. And then all we have to do is give him control and open our mouth, and it's going to pour out praises, prayers, and thanksgiving. Let's pray. Dear God, I ask you, Lord, that you just bless this time of invitation, Father. I ask you that you just speak to hearts. And Lord, if you've spoken to anybody, that they would speak back to you, Lord. They would respond.
See you. prodigal son. I wandered in darkness. I traded my life for a world of good time. No peace in my heart I ever could find. I got so tired eating after the swine. I believe I'll go home and eat with the Father. The table is spread and they're waiting for me. I can see the Father coming down to meet me. Lord, I'm willing to be just a servant for thee. Like the prodigal son, I wandered from Jesus. The shepherd sought me through the heat and the cold. The nighty and nine were left in the fold to find his lost sheep that was hungry and cold. I believe I'll go home and eat with the Father. The table is spread and they're waiting for me. I can see the Father coming down to meet me. Servant for